Wall fans, common sensors, and of course, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 91. That's right. We're finally getting a little bit of that fall weather here in Southern California, so that's nice. But before we get into the meat of episode 91, as they say, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, for episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's our official Facebook page. If you are a Facebook user, make sure you're following our page. That's going to keep you up to date on anything and everything that is Go Tell It to the Wall. We, of course, have our official YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, youtube.com/gotellittothewall. You're going to find all of these lovely video feeds as well as all of our other video playlists. I like to tell people that don't necessarily like to sit down for an hour of a podcast. That's a good way to consume clips from the podcast as well as some of our dedicated videos that aren't actually from podcast episodes, although you should be checking out the entire video feeds if you do want to see my lovely face. Oh, that's great. I can see I got this bruise from last weekend funny story how that happened. Maybe I'll mention that when we get to entertainment news. It's something I didn't mention last week. And then, of course, we have my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. All kinds of great content going up there, especially with all of the shows that have just been stacked one upon the other. I'm trying to get through all of the editing of photos there, so make sure you're following so you don't miss out on all those lovely photos that come across, again, at SoCalSean on Instagram. And of course, your one-stop shop for everything that I just mentioned and more would be SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's right, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. You're going to find links to all those platforms I just mentioned. You're also going to find a link to our Patreon campaign. If you want to support us financially, Patreon is a great way to do it. And if you don't want to support us financially through Patreon, but you still want to support, you can pick up some merch from our merch website. That's right. There's a link not only to our Patreon, but also to our merch website right there on SeanO'RourkeLive.com. So make sure you bookmark that one. Check back often. As there's also exclusive content that only goes up on the website. So if you want the full experience of Go Tell It to the Wall, Common Sense Sundays, and whatnot, make sure you're checking the website as well. All right. Like I mentioned, fall has, you know, that's a thing here in Southern California. Fall hits. And it's always funny looking at my Facebook memories because it's like, oh, first day of fall, 95 degrees. And every year we're like, it's fall. Why is it? It's just like this. And then, of course, climate change and everything else. We're finally getting a little bit of that fall weather here in Southern California. We got some rain, which was really nice. Kind of came out of nowhere. It was like, it rained. It rained. And then kind of on and off. And I think there's even a little more coming our way, which is always good because we need it here throughout California. And I like to call it soup and hoodie weather. I'm not a huge soup eater. But when it cools down enough, there's a couple types of soup I do like to eat. One in particular is a baked potato soup. And finally this week when I went to the store, I was like, I'm picking some up. It's cooling off. I can do a little soup action. And then, of course, the hoodies. And officially, for those of you that enjoy the shows, especially if you see me out at shows, you can tell the change of the season because I switch from my vest to my jacket for shows. This is, you know, people call them battle vest, battle jacket. It's my jacket that I wear to shows because it's got patches of all the bands I've seen and love. Same with the vest. And I can't say it's the first time this year because it's usually out in January, February, March. But it's the first time since the end of summer that it finally came out. And it came out last night. So I love this weather so much more. It's finally like, oh, get rid of this oppressive heat. Give me a little bit of the cool weather. I'm going to enjoy some soup, wear some slippers, you know, all that great stuff. All right. Now that we're done with that opening, let me get a little bit of water out of my Go Tell It to the Wall mug. I swear it's water. It's not straight vodka. Anyone that knows me knows that it couldn't be straight vodka anyway. I don't drink vodka. I'm not much of a clear liquor drinker myself. But let's talk about some digital trends. That's right. Some of the stuff trending around the social platforms, websites, social platforms, World Wide Web. Bet you haven't heard that since the 90s. And among other things that are just kind of caught my eye and people have been talking about over the past week or so. First one is Chipotle TikTok hack. For those of you that have been listening to this podcast for any period of time, know that I'm not a big fan of these TikTok challenges and hacks and all this other stuff. And this is another one that just needs to end. And it will end. Basically, what's happening is it looks like it has to do with the online ordering at Chipotle. And what you do is, apparently, and I am in no way endorsing this, Chipotle is going to catch up with it. You can go on there and you can add, like, sides, like side of corn and all this other stuff. I think even, like, guacamole or whatever. And if you add them individually, it doesn't charge you for them. But what happens is if you add them individually on the side, somebody at Chipotle has to go through and package up each, you know, those little single-serve containers that you get salsa at a taco shop, you know, those kind of things. They're just, and slightly bigger ones, they got to package all these individually, taking time, extra time that they really shouldn't be spending doing that, and all for some silly TikTok hack, finger quotes. This is not a hack. This is more of an annoyance. And in fact, some employees of Chipotle have come out and said, please, please, please stop doing this. And of course, most importantly, Chipotle is going to catch up on this. For those of you who've been to Chipotle, it's always a joke like, oh, can I get some guacamole? Yes, that'll be a dollar. It'll be a dollar. And so their online ordering is going to catch up with this, but just knock it off so that it always amazes me why people like to complicate things for food workers. It's like, you know, and then you complain. People complain that they have slow service and whatever else. And it's like, well, because you have a bunch of assholes out there doing stuff like this, you know? Good on those Chipotle employees for calling it out. And of course, like I said, corporate Chipotle is going to figure that out. They're not in the business of giving away free junk and sides and whatever else. So knock it off, TikTok. All right, this one was interesting. Just came up over the past couple days, and it really, really rang a bell with me. There's a streamer, and I'm probably pronouncing her name incorrectly, Amaranth. Or something like this. I think she has like an OnlyFans and does some kind of streaming. You know, I don't keep up with many of the streamers unless they're bands, musicians, podcasts, hosts that I follow. I'm not into the TikTok and I only use Twitch for bands. You know, certain things like that. But apparently, she had quite the following, and also she's a cute young lady. Had quite the male following. Well, what happened was it came out that she's actually married. She had presented herself as single. For, I guess, a couple years of streaming on these platforms. And what happened was when she came out and people found out she was married, a bunch of guys, of course males, they all started complaining and retweeting and saying, how can I get my money back from the money they gave to support her? You know, if you go on these streaming platforms, you can gift, like, certain things, and it all translates to money. You know, I am somewhat familiar with it, having dealt with the Twitch world at least a little bit. But Dude's getting upset that she's married the whole time. Not only that, but it came out that her husband was being abusive and forcing her to do these things. So not only are guys upset at something they shouldn't be upset about, but they are just overlooking the fact that this poor young lady has been living with domestic abuse all these years. And all they care about is the fact that she's not actually single and they want their money back. I saw someone say, how do I charge back a credit card? And it's like, are you kidding me right now? First of all, if you don't think this happens constantly, just, you're living with your head under a rock. You're living under a rock. This is a constant thing in Hollywood, in music, in anything, people of note. It's not always that they're denying it necessarily, but it's often not mentioned. It's been years and people are still now realizing, like, oh, Amy Interrupter is married to Kevin Bavona. They don't hide it, but they don't present it. This is just something that's pretty normal. I have dealt with people that do this, and there's nothing wrong with that. The other ridiculous thing is that she was being abused, like I said. That's the second point I want to make. But the third most important thing is all these guys complaining, she was never going to fuck you whether she was single or married. It reminds me of the guys that go to the strip club and talk to the strippers, and they go, oh, man, I think she likes me. I think she likes me. No, fool, she likes your wallet. That's not how this works. It's a transactional thing. But this is the world that some guys are so delusional. And I'm sure there are women out there delusional on similar things. But guys, when it comes to women, you know, they think, oh, a server at a restaurant is being polite. Oh, yeah, no, she definitely likes me. It's like, no, she's just doing her job. So calm it down. There's no reason that anybody should be complaining. And most importantly, she should be getting some kind of help for this abusive relationship that she's in. Blows my mind. People are so worried about this and just completely delusional. This is why people like Donald Trump get elected to president, because they don't care about facts. They're just living in their own little world there. It's unbelievable, man. All right, Major Biden was trending, and it's not because Joe Biden is a major in the military or any relative is. Major is the name of one of his dogs. I believe it's a German Shepherd that lives in the White House. And I think it's a newer dog that he got shortly after he was elected or moved into the White House. And if you remember a couple years ago, or, you know, right around, like I said, when he first moved in, there was a story that one of his dogs bit a couple of Secret Service agents. Well, the reason that Major Biden is now trending is because people are looking back and saying, he didn't bite anybody else. Dog bit Secret Service agents. And if you've been following the January 6th committee hearings and everything else, we've come to find out that not everyone in the Secret Service is on the up and up. So this started trending this week because people pointed out that maybe Major Biden was correct. And there's always that saying that dogs know. Dogs have a certain sense for whether people are good or bad. I'm not saying he did, I'm not saying he didn't, but it's definitely something that was trending and people were having a lot of fun with it. As much as it is a serious thing that needs to be known, and this was accompanied by people saying, completely clean out the Secret Service, clean house, make sure everyone, you know, sort people out that are not doing their job. This isn't a right or left thing. This is simply, regardless, you need to be doing your job. I never liked the Orange Menace. I still don't like the Orange Menace, but it was my belief, and unfortunately still is, because he still gets a Secret Service detail. His Secret Service should be looking out for his protection, and they shouldn't be on the right or left of anything. They're in the middle. They have a job. Do their job. And Major Biden deserves a little bit of an apology because, like I said, maybe he did know. He's only biting Secret Service agents. All right, speaking of fake things, that wasn't really fake. What a bad transition. Sometimes what I say doesn't make sense, but then I cover it up with the next thing. We're going to talk about Herschel Walker, a former professional football player and current candidate for the Senate in the state of Georgia. He had a debate with the sitting senator from Georgia that he's running against in this November's election. And apparently he decided to pull out his honorary sheriff's badge, a fake badge, not a real badge, and presented it as a real badge. Yes. So now, of course, Twitter started losing its mind. They pointed out that it's not actually a real badge. And then somebody, I actually saw a tweet from someone saying, no, it is an honorary badge. He was helping with something with the whatever sheriff's department. And somebody was like, honorary literally means it's not a real badge. And he's presenting it as a real badge. And it was also great because it got Toys R Us trending. We're going to talk about Toys R Us when we get to parenting. Got Toys R Us trending because people were like, did he pick up that badge at Toys R Us? Like, I'm pretty sure my kid has a better toy police badge than the one he was showing. At least, come on. Get a better one, at least, for the love of God. It's amazing how dumb people are. It's just everything out of certain politicians' mouths is just patently false. And he's a great example of that. Just making stuff up as he goes. And there's a possibility that he is going to represent the state of Georgia in the Senate. It's amazing to me that people can look at someone like that, and I don't care. And that's what it comes down to. It's people that only vote on the party lines. So they don't care what he's saying or anything. Nope, he's a Republican. We have to vote for the Republican. And this goes for Democrats, too. And I often get mistaken for a Democrat. I am not a Democrat. I am an independent. I vote for whoever the fuck I want to vote for. I don't care what party they're in. Now, obviously, because in the climate that we live in right now, a lot of Republicans are trying to take away women's rights, same-sex marriage rights, all these kinds of things. So, yeah, I tend to fall on one side, but I don't vote along party lines by any means, and nobody should. And for the love of God, do not let Herschel Walker get into the Senate. We got enough stupidity in politics in Washington as it is. We don't need more. Let's start electing people with some smarts, you know? We start giving IQ tests for anyone who wants to run for public office. I'd be down for that. All right, and last thing I want to talk about here in Digital Trends is hashtag tax the churches. This should always trend. It pops up every now and then, and it's popped up again this week. You know, when it comes to these small rural churches, I get it. But when we're talking about the mega churches, like this Joel Osteen and all these others, and then on top of that, if churches want to insert themselves into politics, donate millions of dollars then they need to pay their taxes. You want to pay your taxes, then you can get political. If you're not going to pay taxes, you are a nonprofit and you shouldn't be influencing politics. Simple as that, as far as I'm concerned. There's a reason why I don't have any association with any kind of church. I grew up Catholic, and there's many things from the Catholic Church that were great, and there's many things that are absolutely horrid. But you just end up with these top-heavy churches that aren't paying their share, and then they're influencing people to vote certain ways just because, and then they base it on the Bible, this book. They base it on faith and everything, and it's like, no. Let's start taxing them, everyone. All right, COVID updates. Give me some water out of my Go Tell It to the Wall mug here. Some COVID updates. We have a new variant coming down the pipes. It's already here, actually. It's the BQ1. I had to look that one up. I was like, I know there's a new variant. What's this one called? BQ1. So whatever that means. It's not important what it means. It's just important that you know there is a new variant. And again, as I always say with COVID updates, I'm not a doctor. But I can tell you from a quick little fact checking there, it's now responsible for every 1 in 10 positives that come out right now is that actual variant. And of course, the experts are tracking this to see if it grows, everything else. Again, not a scientist, not a doctor, but it's something to be aware of, that there are still variants coming down a pipeline here. New ones. And of course, that new booster has been supposedly really great. And I don't say supposedly in a negative way. I don't know. It's going to hit a point where it's not covering variants, but it is covering many of the variants that have popped up. And I think it's really important. Especially if you're high risk, to make sure you're getting that booster. I'm seeing a lot less close contact notes, which is interesting because, I'd be curious from other parents out there if this is happening with your schools, especially depending on where you are in the country. Even when this school year started here in Los Angeles, we got a few of them. Now, we've been safe, knock on wood. My daughter has not caught COVID, but I'm seeing almost none of them now. And I think that is a good sign for us moving forward, especially when we know that there is a possible end coming. But we've been here before. We were here a year ago, and then it fired up again. You never know. So continue to be diligent. Continue to take care of yourselves and your family. And it's not that hard to wear a mask. I wore a mask for hours on a plane ride just about a week and a half ago. Getting to the East Coast and back to the West Coast. Of course, if you're having a snack or something, you can take that down. But I've got the mask on. It's not that hard to do it. And officials are expecting a surge. Again, do your own fact-checking research on this. But we are hearing the good possibility of a surge now that fall and winter has hit. This is something we saw last year and the year before. So we know there's a possibility of that. So again, just be smart and protect yourself. Fall, winter, this is the time to do it. And as I said last episode, they are recommending everybody get their flu shot, which you should anyway, but especially in this current climate with COVID and everything else, make sure you are getting your flu shot. I get mine every year. I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but if you were to ask me my opinion on it, everybody should be getting a flu shot. All right, mental health. I feel like we're just cooking through everything today. Might be a short episode. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Mental health. I don't have a ton this week, but I do want to point out, as of yesterday, we finished OCD Awareness Week, which I think is great. We have Mental Health Awareness Day, all of these things to help raise awareness. Something that I do say every single year on Mental Health Awareness Day, on OCD Awareness Week during that time period, is remember, as much as it's great that we are raising that awareness, for those of you that don't deal with a mental illness, you need to keep in mind that it is 365 days a year issue that many, many, many people in the world deal with. So offer that extra awareness and help throughout the year, not just when we have a hashtag OCD Awareness Week, hashtag Mental Health Awareness Day, all these things, which, again, they are great. But it is a constant battle for many, many people, myself included. That doesn't just happen during a week or during a month or on one particular day. So continue with that awareness, but maybe we can continue the awareness throughout the year. And of course, with it having just ended OCD Awareness Week, I need to talk about something I've talked about many times over the years, and that is the misuse of certain terms like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Many people out there associate obsessive compulsive disorder with tidiness, with organization, all those kinds of things. And a lot of times it's out of ignorance when people misuse it. And that's why I always take the time to point that out. You're not so OCD today in finger quotes. No. And because it's a mental health issue and a mental illness thing, we don't think of it the same way we do physical ailments. You know, and we've talked about this when it pertains to professional athletes and stuff, who thankfully have, over the past few years, have become more open about their own struggles with mental health. But it's one of those things. You see an athlete break their leg. You're like, well, shit, he can't play that sport anymore. She can't play that sport anymore. But you don't see what's going on in their head. And that's what it is when it comes to people misusing OCD and using it as a synonym for being tidy, being organized, all these other things. Don't do it. And if you hear somebody doing it, politely point out to them, that's not the correct use of the word. Can you imagine if somebody was running around saying, "Oh, my cancer! I've got such a cancer today." Like, no, no. We know not to use the R word, and I'm not going to say the misuse is as bad as that, because we've hit a point where people know better. And this I will chalk up a lot of it to ignorance, and it's just about educating people to not use it. There is the, and I'm sure they'll pop up again this year. There's these Christmas shirts and stuff that say OCD, and it says Obsessive Christmas Disorder. It's like, really? It's not, am I a fucking joke to you? Because that's how it comes across when you're doing shit like that. So let's be better. Let's be respectful of people that deal with mental illness all throughout the year. And educate those that just, like I said, there's a good chance they just don't realize that they are being offensive, anybody that's doing this. But we can reach that point. It's just a matter of educating people and pointing it out. It's not that difficult. I have pointed it out to people, and most times it takes a minute and they go, "Oh my gosh, you're right. That's not, I shouldn't be using that term." I've never had somebody push back ridiculously on me about, like, "Oh, I'm just going to keep using it." No, it's most times they go, "Oh yeah, you know what? That is a great point." So let's help to keep spreading that word. Get rid of those Obsessive Christmas Disorder shirts that are probably going to pop up at Target. They're probably popping up at Target right now. I was at Target this week, and I was picking up a couple things. And I go walking through, I just went walking through the Halloween section because I hadn't been to Target this year to see any of the Halloween stuff. I'm like, "Oh, we didn't get anything to pick up." Actually, and I take that back. We ordered a couple things. We went and picked them up at Target. We always get a couple new decorations every year. It's kind of how we, same with the holidays. It's kind of how we build upon, like, all right, what new things should we get? We got one of those giant rope spider web things. Looks pretty good on the house, I got to say. But I'm walking through and I look over and they're putting up Christmas lights and stuff, like right next to the Halloween section. I went, It's like October 10th. And I know that's the joke, but maybe these shirts are already popping up at Target because they are clearly moving on to the holiday season as far as decor and stuff, which is a good hot tip. The Halloween stuff was already marked down, so it's just going to, and we're still like 2 weeks away from the actual Halloween. So you might be able to get some Halloween decorations, use them this year because they're already on sale at Target. The same thing at Vons. I picked up a couple of these like light up necklace things. I was like, well, those are $3 instead of $7. I'm just going to grab a couple of those. All right, let's move on to some positive news that now that we got sufficiently tangented there. I got two of them for you this week. One of them, I've just been laughing. I look at it and I just start laughing spontaneously for the past few days. Because this week, the verdict came out in the Alex Jones trial. We already had one verdict and it was a bunch of money, but then as you know, it was pointed out, like, no, there's still more coming. Well, the final verdict for Alex Jones is he needs to pay just under $1 billion, not million, not $100 million, billion with a B, just under $1 billion to the victims' families from the Sandy Hook shooting. And as you, if unless you've been living under a rock, you're aware of what's been going on, the tragedy that was that, and all of the lies and slandering that Alex Jones pushed out there. So it's something like $985 million, just under $1 billion. That is just about $1 billion. I don't know that that guy even has that much money. If he does, that it will be sad if he does have that much money, because it's just going to go to show how many people support that gas bag. I'm really hoping that, and I will say, the best thing about this is Alex Jones fucked around and found out. So hopefully others will learn from this and not go out slandering and spreading lies to their gigantic audiences. And hopefully he disappears. Unfortunately, I don't think that will happen. We were promised by the Orange Menace that if he lost the election, he would disappear, and that son of a bitch is doing rallies every other weekend. So maybe Alex Jones will run for president. Who knows? That's kind of the world we live in, the country we live in, at least. Although I know many other countries are dealing with ridiculousness in politics as well. So it's not just the United States. It's just, you look at a guy like Alex Jones, and 20 years ago, you're like, oh my God, this guy's a joke conspiracy theorist. And then he builds an audience. And now, you know, we elect people like Trump to the highest office in the United States. So you never know. But like I said, from a positive news note, $1 billion. Just, that's what you get, dude. That's what you get. Build your reputation off the backs of lies and slandering and all this other stuff, and that's what's going to happen. So take note, all these other idiots out there, Fox News and everyone else that's just spreading blatant lies. And the other thing I want to mention real quick is related to sports ball, but it also is related to social issues. The Atlanta Braves, the baseball team, were eliminated from the playoffs, and this is always positive news because now we are done with the super racist chant that they like to do during baseball games down there in Atlanta. If you're not familiar with it, go look it up. And it's not even something that just the fans embrace. The entire team embraces it, and it's disgusting, and it needs to stop. So whenever the Atlanta baseball team is done playing for the season, it is a positive thing as far as I'm concerned, because now we have at least a few months until we got to deal with that insanely racist chant that they do down there in Atlanta. All right, parenting. Interestingly, this is something I should have talked about last week with our sixth anniversary episode or whatever it was, and that is the return of Toys R Us. So we're not going to get those big stores. That's not quite happening. But we are getting Toys R Us pop-ups within Macy's department stores, which actually makes a lot of sense. For those of you that remember old school department stores, I know them all too well. Speaking of Halloween coming up, I spent a lot of my childhood in department stores. The company that my mother worked for and that I modeled Halloween costumes for, all their pop-ups were within department stores. This was when department stores were department stores. You had different departments. And you see that now, but it's a little bit different. And this kind of harkens back to the original department stores, where you have this entire Toys R Us department within a department store. And it's so iconic for multiple generations. This is, you know, we all know the jingle. I'm a Toys R Us kid and everything else. And not just my generation, you know, and it reaches before my generation, and even into my daughter's generation, technically. We were shopping at Toys R Us and Babies R Us when my daughter was first born. And in fact, if you go to youtube.com/gotelltothewall, there is a very positive story that I shared about being a brand new father. My daughter was born, oh my gosh, five weeks early, 4.5 weeks, whatever it was. She was supposed to be born very beginning of December. She was born beginning of November, so 4 weeks or whatever. We were prepared, but we weren't fully prepared. And what happened was we didn't quite have everything we needed. So here's exhausted new dad Sean, like 2 days after my kid's born, and my wife says, "You gotta go to Toys R Us, Babies R Us. We had a combo one, not far from us, and pick up all." And she gives me a list, and I'm going, "Okay." I go there, and I'm exhausted. Like I said, stressed out, of course, and not overly stressed, but it's, you know, new baby stress. We're adjusting. We're selling our house, trying to buy a new house at the time. Going there, and I'm looking around like a chicken with its head cut off. Not that a chicken would be looking around, but I'm just flying around there like, what is going on? I can't find this, can't find this. Ran into a couple people that worked there, and they took their time to actually walk me around the store and help me find the things that I was looking for. And I talked about this and a few years ago and how sad it was when Toys R Us actually closed, because it's so iconic. And not only that, but that's the kind of customer service you want as a parent. You know, bringing joy to kids, bringing relief to parents as they don't know what they're doing. I barely knew what the heck I was doing. I'd been a dad for like 2 days, you know, and you can prepare as much as you want, but stuff always comes up, and we had to get more stuff. It was like, well, we need these changing, whatever, all kinds of different stuff. And I was so grateful for that. So I'm really happy to see, at least in a small way, Toys R Us coming back. I think I'll be hitting it up at Macy's. I go to Macy's now and then. That's more where I get, like, my suits. So, as you know, I don't wear a lot of suits, so I'm not in Macy's a ton. But I do go in there when I got to pick up a new suit. And maybe I'll take the kiddo to a little Toys R Us pop-up. They closed down not long after she was born. So she got to go there a couple times, but she was very, very, very young. Although, on the flip side of it, we were able to go to our local Toys R Us when they were closing everything down. And that's why she has, like, a ridiculous Power Wheels Star Wars land speeder thing. So it was like, oh, that thing's half off. Well, take it. We'll take five of those, give them all the friends. No, we just got one. But yeah, did get to enjoy some of it. I want to talk about playdates. Playdates are key for kids. Now, I am not a parenting expert. I simply speak from my own experience. But playdates are something that you hear so much about, but it's something to always keep in mind. And it's interesting to look at the past couple of years where many kids lost that because we were stuck inside with COVID. You know, obviously now we're not so much stuck inside, but many kids lost that for a couple of years. And it's key because it's important for kids to socialize, be around other kids. They do that at school, but you also want that outside of school. And we try to do this very often. Like, in fact, my wife and daughter are out at the park right now with a couple of other parents and their kids, and they're playing and stuff. I'll tell you, in a greedy way, I had this last Friday. We're walking home from school, and we have a neighbor two doors down. They have multiple kids in the school, and one of them is a grade ahead of my kid, and one of them is in the same grade. They're all very good friends, and they wanted to have a play date. I didn't even get my kid into my house. She said, oh, can we go now and play? And I said, yeah, I mean, why not? She runs down the street. I said, all right, bye. And I'm texting, I'm checking it, like, hey, is she bothering you yet? Nope, they're having a blast. And the mother over there's texting me pictures, and I'm seeing all this fun. So she's having a blast. But then, especially because my wife had been out of town this past week in Vegas for work, so I got a little extra break, not just while she was at school, because when she's at school, I tend to work on stuff for the podcast. I'm editing photos, I'm doing other stuff. So on a Friday evening, it was really nice. I don't want to talk about it, but the Dodger game was on. I was watching some of that. I had to turn it off because blood pressure was too high. But it was nice to have this little break, even for parents. She ate dinner over there. I was like, oh my, they're eating pizza. I don't have to feed her dinner tonight. You know, and I had planned dinner, but I said, oh, well, it's just me eating dinner now. My wife's not even home. I'm just going to microwave some of this stuff, and that's my dinner. Call it a day. And she came back. She had so much fun. In fact, they all walked her two doors down, like both the girls she was playing with, walked her back home, and they were having a blast. It was absolutely amazing. So keep that in mind, parents out there. You know, because not only is it's very important for your kid, but it can also be good for you. I mean, I kind of had that realization. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna? And I'm sitting on the couch for the first like 20 minutes, like, what do I do? I've done a lot of work today. I kind of could use a mental break, and I turn on a baseball game, and then started watching some other stuff, and had dinner by myself. It was actually really nice. Tennis lessons. We gave my kid the option. Let's try out some sports. And I think I mentioned the sports camp that we had her going to over the summer, where she got to try basketball, baseball, soccer, track, many things, which was, I highly recommend that if you can find that for your kids in their area, because they can see what they like. My kid's really into track, but it's a hard thing for kids her age to, there's not a lot of like running clubs for kids that are that young. And so we said, oh, what do you want? And she said, tennis. And I said, great. And at first, and it was funny because I'll get to that part of the story. I was like, and I turned to my wife, I was like, where do you get tennis lessons? Like, we had a tennis team in high school. But I always associate tennis with like country club. So I'm going, do we have to join a country club now? Like, do I need to tie a sweater around my neck and take her to tennis lessons? Fortunately, that's not the case. We actually found tennis lessons at a rec center nearby in our neighborhood. So she actually missed her first tennis lesson because we were on the East Coast. So I go this past Monday to take her to her second tennis lesson. And if you're looking at the calendar, you remember what this past Monday was. It was actually a holiday, but it was more of like a government holiday, which I knew it was happening. But when my kid goes to school, you know, for example, they don't get Cesar Chavez Day off, but a lot of government facilities are closed. You know, this is a city rec center. You can see where I'm going with this. So I don't think about it. And then my wife had a full day of meetings. She was working all day. So I knew it was Indigenous Peoples Day. It just didn't click in my head. So I go to take her to tennis lesson, and we're there a few minutes early because I hadn't been there yet. I found the tennis courts. I'm like, okay. You know, she starts playing on the playground, and I'm like, it gets to be the time for the tennis lesson, and nobody's showing up. And I went looking around, I'm going, what's going on? And I still hadn't realized it yet. Fortunately, there was another dad there who actually did the same thing, tried to take his daughter to her soccer practice at another park down the street, got there, the entire park's closed for Indigenous Peoples Day. So I'm going, oh, yeah, that actually makes sense. That does make sense. Which then this dad had a daughter the same age as my kid. They were like a few months apart. So they immediately start running around having fun. I'm like, I'm going, okay, well, there's a playground. She's getting some activity. I mean, it was kind of dumb of me to not realize that they're not doing the tennis lesson today, but at least we're getting some playtime in. And that's what I will go back to as I'm talking to the dad. And I'm like, yeah, tennis lessons. And he's like, and he kind of had the same thought. He's like, yeah, we didn't have tennis lessons when I was a kid. I was like, me either. I just, that's a whole, you, that was like for the wealthy people who were going to country clubs and stuff. And to be fair, I did play a little bit of tennis as a kid, but it was at a country club. I had a family, this family that had an extra, like, family pass for, they literally put me on their country club thing. And it wasn't even one of these super hoity-toity country clubs. It's actually the Doubletree down in San Diego, Carmel Mountain Ranch. So for those of you that are familiar with Southern California, you probably know that facility. It's not a super hoity-toity one, but it is a country club, and they had tennis courts. So I would go out there and hit tennis balls against the fence. I was no lessons or anything like that. So, of course, now I'm having to learn tennis, which this dad and I are talking about it. And I'm like, I know nothing about tennis. And he's like, yeah, even the scoring is strange. I was like, yeah, something about love and 15, 30 foot. Like, you have the serve or whatever. And the little bit I know is from watching, like, the legendary Serena Williams play in her last few matches. So I'm fully supportive. I'm yes, let's play tennis. My wife took her out to, like, a tennis racket place because I'm going, I can order a tennis racket, but I feel like there's certain types of tennis rackets for her, depending on the size and age of the kid. So I took her out to get a tennis racket. So we've gotten past that, but now I got to actually learn how to play tennis. Unless she does a couple of these lessons and says, it's not for me. But I highly doubt that's going to happen. My kid tends to want to be successful at anything she tries, and she will not, unlike me, I guess, she will not give up until she becomes at least moderately good at something. But she got some playtime instead, so that was good. All right, let's move on to a little bit of common sense here. Got some good ones for you this week. This one's really exciting. So we got some news this week. The MLB, Major League Baseball, yes, sports ball again, has okayed, given the okay to all of the teams in the league to get, and what you do is teams get sponsorships. Even if you don't watch much sports, you see, you know, the outfield or certain billboards and stuff like that. They get sponsorships. That's what they do. And if you watch the NBA, they have sponsorship patches on their jerseys. In football, they have them on their practice jerseys. So what they've done is Major League Baseball has okayed sponsorships from CBD companies. That's right. So Major League Baseball, starting in 2023, is going to be able to receive sponsorships from those companies and be able to promote those companies in turn, because that's how a sponsorship works. And in fact, they are going to allow CBD commercials to air during Major League Baseball games. To me, this is the next step in legalizing marijuana across professional sports. You know, I guess maybe you couldn't. See, college sports is where it becomes tricky because I believe it, in California you have to be 21, and most college athletes, you know, you start being a college athlete usually around 18. So, but when it comes to professional athletes, this is something that, and it's so funny because I run into people, this isn't even a political thing. It's really a common sense thing. I know people on both sides of the aisle that say, yeah, we're pumping them full of OxyContin and Vicodin and everything else, like the painkillers that are killing people. They could use some medical marijuana instead. So this is common sense, great news, good on Major League Baseball for doing this. Many of the other professional sports have also moved in this direction, at least somewhat. So we're going to see more and more of this, and hopefully soon we will see a marijuana not being a banned substance. You know, you can pop a bunch of Vicodin and OxyContin. You can get as drunk as a skunk after games. I mean, you probably don't want to play a game drunk. You're not going to want to play a game high either, high on marijuana. So it just makes sense. You know, you can do that, but you can't smoke marijuana. Like, what? Can we interject some common sense here? All right, moving along here. Southwest flight delays. Good Lord. Here's the thing. I feel for the airline industry. I to an extent. They got bailed out and jacked up prices. But what I do is I feel for the people working in airline industries. And I get it. You're going to have flight cancellations, delays, things like that, especially when it comes to weather. But it has gotten out of hand. I've talked to a couple people recently, and then I ran into this with my family. My wife was supposed to arrive at like 5 p.m. yesterday from Las Vegas. She hit a point where I'm talking to her at the airport, and I'm like, you could almost just jump in a car at this point. She was supposed to arrive at 5 p.m. She arrived at like 11 or 11:30 p.m. Flight kept getting delayed. I'm watching it because I'm going to pick her up at the airport, and I'm scrambling because I had a show last night. I've got my my 5-year-old at home. Like, and I've literally had people coming over to meet here and go to this show. Like, I can't, what am I going to do here? Fortunately, I had someone that could come over and hang out with my kiddo until my wife got home. But it's almost impossible to schedule things around a flight now because you don't know what's going to happen. We have so many cancellations and delays. We're talking, like I said, 5 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. And for those of you not familiar, a flight from Las Vegas to L.A. or to Burbank, which is where most of the Vegas flights go, it's like an hour. We're not talking about a 6-hour flight here. But it makes it almost impossible. You can't plan or schedule. I get it. But there has to be a line where we are... You can't push it back that far. You can only cancel so many. Because what if somebody needs to get somewhere? What if somebody, I hate to be morbid about it, but what if somebody's trying to fly to go see their relative who's not long for this world and they end up getting delayed and they miss that opportunity? There's got to be some kind of line. I don't know what it is. I'm not an airline industry expert, but I can say yesterday was quite a frustration for my family because I'm just trying to get my wife home from, and it's like a 5-hour drive from Vegas. She just jumped in a fucking car. Not that she had a car there, but this is also why people are like, "How you don't fly to Vegas?" I'm like, no. If it's 6-7 hours or less, I'm driving. Because then I got a car. I got control of my schedule. It's not a bad drive. And, oh, yeah, you just start throwing shit in the car. You don't have to weigh your bags and pack everything. Like, good Lord, I'm sitting on my bag. I only carried on going to Bristol. I'm sitting on my bag trying to zip it up. I got it. I was like, Jesus Christ. Just drive it. All right. LA City Council recordings. If this has actually made national news, and I'm just going to just kind of talk about it for a sec, only because it really relates to me and my neighborhood. But it's made the national news. Some things were caught on video and recording from the LA Los Angeles City Council, people specifically being racist toward their constituents. And we've had one resignation over it, but there's been calls for more resignations from people who are caught on tape doing it. There's no excuse for this. They all need to resign. And I absolutely have the right to speak up on that because one of those city council members is my city council member. So I know you've seen this in the news, and trust me, we are outraged here in Los Angeles. Not only the constituents and the voters here in Los Angeles, but other politicians and officials as well. So hopefully they will come to their senses and resign. Personally, I didn't like our council member to begin with, and now it's just like, well, I guess I was right. All right, Jim Jordan. This fucking guy. Put on a goddamn jacket, Jim. Like, that's the easiest thing. He's guilty of so many other things. He came out this week and said and pointed out that the J6 committee, the January 6th committee, why aren't they addressing gas prices, grocery prices, and rent increases? Okay. And people were very quick to point out to Jim Jordan that the January 6th committee is a committee to investigate the January 6th riots and everything else that was happening in the Capitol that day. They are not in charge of investigating gas prices, grocery prices, or rent increases. That's not how it works. If you want to address those things, create a committee. You're a politician. You have the power to speak up and do those things. But of course, they don't. They don't. They don't realize it. In fact, I've got to go back to this here because I'm going to talk J6, but I have this out of order a little bit. And Jim Jordan, I would say the award for dumbest congressperson, but good Lord, we got that Marge and Babbert or whatever still running around in Congress. So at least he'll never be the dumbest until they're out of office. But then the other thing on top of that is Republicans love to complain about gas prices. There's the whole thing like, oh, but what, Biden increased the gas prices. It's like, okay, again, as we always say, fact check. It's a quick Google to see, well, the entire world is dealing with high gas prices. And then on top of that, not a single Republican can complain about this because there is a bill that was put forth to combat oil and gas price gouging, which is essentially what we're dealing with. Every single Republican voted against it, including No Jacket Jim Jordan. This is just more gaslighting. That's the way of the Republican Party. It's the way of politicians in general. But it's on record. So before you believe any of these kinds of things, just it's a quick Google. It'll take you 5 seconds to be like, well, Jim, if you felt that way, maybe you should have voted in favor of it instead of against it. And they do that. Why? Because they're receiving money from the oil industry. Simple as that. And speaking of the J6 committee, the January 6th committee, they put out a subpoena this week. That's right, a subpoena. That would be when somebody is called in to testify in court. And they put out the subpoena to the one and only Orange Menace. So he is going to have to go in and testify in front of the January 6th committee. And I really hope they broadcast it live, because I will enjoy watching that orange son of a bitch sweat and sweat and sweat as he is forced to answer questions. Probably plead the fifth a bunch of times, because that's what he does. He's literally, and by his own words, he's literally no better than the mafia, because in the Orange Menace's words, only the mafia pleads the fifth to everything. And what has he been doing? Pleading the fifth to everything. Which brings me to my next very important point when it comes to common sense, and that's November elections. We have a very, very big slate of midterm elections happening in November, pretty much wherever you live across the country. Make sure you vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I would say use common sense. Do your research. That's the important thing. They send you little guides that tell you everything. You just take a few minutes and read. It's so important to make your voice heard. And the other thing that's really important is if you don't vote, voting is basically your pass to complain. If you don't vote, you cannot complain about politicians. You cannot complain about anything that's voted upon, because you didn't participate in your right to do so. That's why it's important. So do your research. Take the time to vote. Mail-in ballots, whatever it might be, it's extremely important to do that. And speaking of voting, at least here in Los Angeles, if you do live in Los Angeles, do not believe the ridiculous ads that are coming out, paid for by Rick Caruso, the wolf in sheep's clothing, the Republican masquerading as a Democrat, who has donated tons, that's the thing now. He's got an ad campaign. I just saw it today. It's like, I am pro-choice, and I will fight for your right to be pro-choice. And it's like, but you aren't. You donated a bunch of money to anti-choice groups. Again, public record, but we just ignore that. Don't listen to the rich elites that live in Los Angeles who really are just looking for the tax breaks that are going to come with putting another rich, underqualified person into a higher office, such as mayor here in Los Angeles. And again, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but do your research. We don't need a Republican mayor here in Los Angeles. I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, but we do not need a anti-choice, anti-women's rights, fake Democrat who's actually a Republican running things here in Los Angeles. All right, entertainment news. Let's talk some entertainment news. Had a sad, sad, sad day this week and when it comes to entertainment news. Now, fortunately, she was 96. She did live a full life, but I want to take a moment to say rest in peace to the great and wonderful Angela Lansbury. We all know who she is, and you know, especially if you're of a certain age, you remember Murder, She Wrote. She was truly a treasure, an uber-talented actress, singer, among many other things. And for me as a kid, a very influential film was Bedknobs and Broomsticks. If you haven't seen this, especially if you have kids, but even if you don't have kids, it's a highly entertaining film. It's a Disney, so it's on Disney Plus. My wife and I actually watched it a few months ago, and we're also trying to see, like, is this one that our kids ready for? But we both love Angela Lansbury, so it's like, let's watch some Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Highly, highly recommend it. I'll get around to watching it again very soon here in honor of the great Angela Lansbury. So again, she did live a full life, but it's still sad to see such an uber talent and just mammoth of a human being gone. You know, and I was about to say gone too soon, but 96. You know, but we will miss her and her immense talent. All right. Speaking of immense talent, this one's a tough one. I understand, but there's already enough as it is, and this is something we've learned over time. There's some allegations coming out against Bill Murray, who is an incredible comedic talent. I have been a Bill Murray fan since the '80s, and a fan of his acting. In Caddyshack, Groundhog Day, Stripes, all these SNL, all these fantastic things that he was in. we're getting some real allegations, and things are coming to light about him and his inappropriate behavior, especially on sets. One of them happened recently, and that's what kind of opened the floodgates here, is because apparently it's been happening throughout almost his entire career, at least going back to 1990 and probably many before that. I just haven't come out and spoken out on it just yet. But this is, here's the thing. I always say this, don't worship celebrities. I mean, especially once the Bill Cosby stuff came out, it's like, that was America. We called him America's dad. And look what he was capable of. Don't worship celebs. It's crazy to think, like, Bill Murray. He's this funny guy that shows up at people's weddings and, you know, sings at the Cubs game and all this other stuff. But just because you have that side doesn't mean there isn't a dark side to that as well. All right, I'm going to talk about it. You know I'm going to talk about it. My Poway is going to show for a few minutes here. The Blink 182 reunion that was announced this week, and everyone lost their minds. And it's funny, I was seeing posts from people, and I was like, you used to talk bad things about Blink 182, but now you're super excited they're having a reunion. And for those of you that remember, Blink 182 holds a special place in my heart. I relate to this with many friends. I have certain friends. In fact, one of my good friends from high school hit me up, and he's like, did you see this? And we went to many Blink shows together. He said, we got to go together. And I said, I would love to if the ticket prices go below $5,000. So that's the one thing. It's those ticket prices for their world tour, out of hand. I just glanced at it, and I was like, well, I'm not going to that. Not worth it. Especially considering for me, I remember the days in the 90s when you'd go see Blink for like $5. They were the house band at SOMA. They were begging people to come to their shows. I would like to point out to anyone using certain terminology, I've seen it posted quite a bit, original lineup. It's not the original lineup. It's a reunion because Tom is now back in the band, so it's a reunion. Two original members. Travis Barker is not an original member. They did three albums before Travis Barker joined the band. So please, please, please don't call it the original lineup, for the love of God. You can call it a reunion, but it's not the original lineup. Three albums. Three of them. And like I said, it's not worth the ticket price. World tour. And we're talking thousands of dollars to see Blink 182. They're great. It's very nostalgic. I get the nostalgia. And if you have the means to do so, by all means, do it. Go spend a bunch of money on that ticket. But to me personally, it's not worth it. And I have a lot of friends that are like, I would love to see it, but it's not worth that cost to go see Blink 182. And then, of course, piggybacking off the Blink 182 reunion announcement. Oh, and their single. Their new single, Good Not Great, puts me in a term I use often, is it's fine. It's fine. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's fine. It sounds a little more like old Blink 182, so it's fine. And they'll have a new album coming out at some point. They have announced that. This is the first single off their new album. So we'll have that to look forward to. Hopefully it'll be a good album. I've enjoyed parts of many of the albums ever since Enema. Really ever since Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, because that was a pretty good start to finish album. But after that, it's kind of like, yeah, there's a few good ones on here. Still buy the albums, of course, because I got to keep my Blink 182 collection complete. But it gets ridiculous because now we're looking at like their 10th, 11th album, depending what you look at. I would give them 10th, but you got the first album, you got the live one. It's like we merge those into one because they're technically, yeah, it's a whole thing. But then, of course, piggybacking off of that, we got an announcement for We Were Young Festival 2023, or the When We Were Young. When We Were Young Fest 2023. This was the crazy one they announced months and months ago, and people went, how are you going to get through all these bands? And it's actually happening. It's a two-day festival. It's happening in Vegas. I have friends that are going, and they're going to see it. This year's lineup was not that enticing to me. And in fact, I was like, this is more like when I was in college, not when I was young. And that's just me. Great popular bands that are playing it, but it wasn't enticing to me. This one, however, very enticing. We're talking Green Day, Blink 182, Less Than Jake, ridiculous lineup. And I will say, it was announced this week, piggybacking off of the Blink announcement, of course. In fact, Green Day announced a 25th anniversary Nimrod album that's coming out in January. So, you know, piggybacking off of everything, it's just smart marketing. My background is marketing. I'm not going to talk smack about that. It's just smart the way they're doing it. And like I said, this lineup much more exciting to me personally. And this one is worth the cost. It's going to cost you like a quarter of what it'll cost you to see Blink-182. You're going to get Blink-182 at the festival. Shorter set, I'm sure, because it's a festival set, but they are one of the headliners of the festival. It's co-headlined by Green Day and Blink. But this one's actually worth the cost. So I'll be keeping an eye on tickets and maybe picking one up before that happens in 2023. All right, we got one more thing to talk about, and then we're going to wrap up episode 91 of Common Sense Sundays. And that would be a recap of a show of one of the greatest bands around right now, one of my absolute favorite bands, and that is The Drowns. They played with Booze and Glory at the Paramount last night, and I'm loving the Paramount more and more. It's so funny because I keep talking to people, and they're like, the Paramount? And I met, you know, a week ago for Dolly Rots, people were like, I've never been to the Paramount. And people have been going to shows for 20, 25 years like I have, and 30 years. Oh, my God. Getting kind of old. You know, and they're like, I never heard of it. And I hadn't heard of it until a few months ago for Fight Betty Fight. Now shows are popping up there more often. It's a great venue. I love it. And it's like 10 minutes from my house. And they have a parking lot. It's like, okay, can we just throw all the smaller shows there? It is a small venue. You're not going to get like a huge band, a uber popular band in there. But you're going to get a lot of the bands that I love can play that venue. And such as The Drowns and Booze and Glory. The Drowns always with the incredible energy. They're some of the nicest guys around. They had somebody filling in on guitar. I believe for the entire tour, but at least last night, filling in one of the guitarists for DI was filling in. So I don't really know him, but I got to hang out a bit with the other three guys, and they are just some of the nicest guys. They play some of the most high energy music that you're ever going to find. And in fact, one of my friends was shooting video like across the pit from where I am. And she's like, oh yeah, you know, you're in part of my video and you're just bopping, and I'm bopping along with him and just having a blast. And she sent it to another mutual friend and was like, yep, Sean just living his best life. And I was like, yep, no, it's a Drown show. I'm living my best life. So shout out to the Drowns for always putting on a great show. Oh my God. They're just so fantastic. Ran into a lot of friends, new friends and some old friends that I've known for a while, which I love that about a lot of these shows we go to. In fact, one of them, she sees me across the way and I'm actually walking toward another friend to say hi, and she sees me and I'm like, oh my gosh. She goes, oh my gosh, what a great surprise. So it's nice running into a lot of your friends. It's like it's a big meetup with your friends and some great music, which is definitely what was happening last night. Booze and Glory, they put on a fantastic show. They're also another great band. I always love promoting the Pirates Press bands. I got a Booze and Glory sticker on the wall here. It's actually not far from the Drown sticker. You know, and love supporting those Pirates Press bands. It's a great label that they got BSB to a certain BSP, Barstool Preachers, to a certain point before they moved on to their newer label. And I will say one anecdotal thing about last night is Booze and Glory. And I'm kind of off to the side. I'm not at the right at the stage like I was for Drowns. And they say, you know, like halfway through the set, they're like, let's get a circle pit going. And I'm like, oh, cool. Get a circle pit going. And I happen to look over and right at the edge of the pit, kind of in the pit. There's a little puddle on a beer, like, spilled. So I was like, oh, yeah, let me go grab this beer can so it doesn't get kicked around. I pick it up, and it's, like, almost full. Just some of it had spilled. So I go, and I drop it on the bar. I'm like, all right, just put that there. Then I'm standing off to the side, and the circle pit gets going. You know, I'm like, cool. You know, and I'm watching just, because I can see it's still a puddle there. And I'm like, all right, hopefully nobody slips. And then a friend of mine, she took an elbow as the circle pit's going around. So I stepped over there, and it's not that I'm, like, this hero or anything, but because of my height, a lot of times when there's a big pit going, people just get knocked around because they're a little bit shorter. So I go over there and I stand next just to make sure she can be seen. And as soon as I get over there, the circle pit, I take an elbow to the hand from a guy. And my full beer hits the ground, full beer, and made an even bigger mess than the mess that I had cleaned up. And I went, of course, of course. But shout out to Stephanie because she turns to me and she's like, what beer was that? I'm going to get. And I was like, no. And she's like, no. I was like, all right, it's a Pabst, you know, but you don't have to, you know. Nope. She comes back with a beer, and then, you know, we enjoyed the rest of the set. It was fantastic. And it wasn't like an uber violent pit. It's just when you get going, and like I said, people of a shorter stature, they don't get seen as well. And that's kind of why I tend to stand next to people that I know they can handle themselves, obviously, but it's more of just a visibility thing. You know, it's like it's different, but it's similar to like I tell my kid, like, we're holding hands crossing the street. She's like, no, I can do it. I was like, no. Cars can't really see you, but they can see me. Like, you know, maybe they can, maybe they can't, but they're definitely seeing me. I'm 6'3". So it's kind of like one of those situations. But I was just laughing. I was like, it's like, really? I just cleaned up this, and now I made a worse mess. And it was on me. Like, you know, I should have just had more awareness, but I kind of looked the other way, and boom, right out of my ass. Like, oh my God. But again, shout out to Stephanie for replacing that beer, as unnecessary as it was for her to do that. It was, that's why I love punk shows. You know, I'm standing there. I'm like, I got beer on my chucks. I'm standing here. Everybody's going crazy. Everyone's, you know, having a blast, high five and running into each other in circle pit. And a couple guys, and I didn't, nobody went down for more than like 5 seconds. I helped pull a couple people up, you know, and that's that great pit etiquette, which was happening last night. And again, huge shout out to the Drowns, Booze and Glory. Put on a fantastic show at the Paramount last night. Couldn't have asked for much more out of those two bands. Maybe a longer set for Drowns, but honestly, I'd watch the Drowns play for 2 hours. They would be dead tired after it because they're so high energy, but I would watch them for 2 hours. And of course, those photos are going to be coming up. I didn't really shoot a lot of Booze and Glory, but I always shoot the Drowns. And in fact, I talked to them last night. I was like, I keep meaning to hit you guys up so I can bring my real camera. And Rev's like, no, next time hit, just, yeah, we're going to do that. So I was like, all right, a little standing photo pass for the Drowns here. All right, that's going to do it for entertainment news. That's going to do it for episode 91 of Common Sense Sundays. But before we go, just another quick shout out to our social platforms. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/gotellittothewall. And of course, my own personal Instagram account, at SoCalSean, SoCalSean. Those show photos going to be going up on the, in fact, I've got a backlog of like 6 shows still. And some of those shows I shot like 3 bands. So there's going to be a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. Make sure you're following on Instagram if that's something you're interested in doing. And if you're an Instagram user. All right, like I said, that is going to do it for episode 91 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. We should be back next week, same wall place, same wall time. And until then, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, remember, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.